Welcome to another Ag Perspectives podcast. I'm Farm Director Ron Hayes. Pleased to have along with us today Jesse Tischhauser, who is out of Guthrie, Oklahoma, one of the owners of Herbs Herbs, talking with us about their efforts to be one of the pioneers in industrialized hemp production in the state of Oklahoma. Had the opportunity to talk with Jesse on the 1st of November as their crop is now in the process of being harvested. Jesse, tell me a little bit about your efforts to get into the industrialized hemp marketplace, and you're actually wanting to grow, and you're actually going to be marketing your first harvest here pretty quickly.
Yes, yeah. Back in June, I think it was June 6th, we got our license through the Oklahoma Industrial Hemp Pilot Program. We are a subcontractor through Langston University. And once we got our license, we were super excited, and then we tried to find seed, and we became really unexcited really quickly because you can't just go anywhere here locally and just purchase a bunch of seed. So we actually went to Colorado and went farm to farm until we found a pound of seed, which was cost us about $4,000 at that time. And at that point, we didn't know what kind of seed we had purchased for $4,000. So we brought it back here to Oklahoma, had to go through the state to get it on the certified seed list, which required, I believe Governor Fallon had to sign an emergency order so that we could sow it right away and not have to wait the 30 days because it was already June. Once that was in place, we started germinating seeds, and on June 15th, we put the first seed in the ground. And at that point, we ended up getting about 30% germination from that seed. So who knows if it was old, if it wasn't, you know, it wasn't great seed. So we went through our whole pound of seed, germinated everything we could. We eliminated the male plants because we weren't growing for seed. We were trying to grow for flower. And here we are 4 months later, 5 months later, making our first harvest.
Now you say you put it in the ground, but you do this inside.
Yeah, not actually the ground. We put it in our nursery pots or soil.
Okay.
We grow everything here in peat moss, perlite, and a bark mixture.
So you're actually able to control those elements a lot more inside, you know, but we're talking roughly, 16 weeks for a cycle?
Correct. Yeah, we can control our environment a little more than what you can, say, in, you know, a 20-acre grow outside in your farmland. But unfortunately for us, this greenhouse that we actually had room in during the summer did not have any type of evaporative cooling system like it used to. So we grew in here in about 120 to 130 degree temperatures underneath glass roofs. So it wasn't ideal by any means, but we did have irrigation here so we could keep things watered. And trust me, I sweat off a few pounds of of hard work. I lost my train of thought.
So you've gotten to a point now. You've got some plants that are harvestable.
Right.
And what do you talk to me about the process of getting when they've hit that mature state?
Yeah. Right. So our process here is we spend about 2 to 3 weeks germinating a clone or a cutting. Or not germinating, sorry. We spend 2 to 3 weeks propagating the cutting. Initially, we started with seeds, so we had to germinate. And that's, you know, 10 to 14-day process till it's stable enough to do something with. So what we do is 2 to 3 weeks in propagation, create some clones, and then we move them into a vegetative cycle. Industrial hemp is a short day crop. It'll flower when the days get short. So what we're doing in a greenhouse environment is trying to control those days. So we keep them in a vegetative cycle for the 2 to 3 weeks in propagation, and then another 5 to 6 weeks in vegetation to bulk them up, and then we'll move them over into the light deprivation area so that they get that 13 plus hours of darkness, and then they'll begin to flower in about 2 to 3 weeks. And then there's another 8 weeks of growing them at a flowering stage before they produce the trichomes that contain the CBD and all the stuff that we're after.
Now, as you get to that point of harvest, you're actually cutting them and letting them dry.
Correct, yeah. When we first saw the first trichomes forming in early September from our June 15th planting, we cut a few plants down, dried them out for 2 weeks, and then we sent off the flowers to get them tested to make sure that we were below that critical 0.3 THC level because we didn't want to have medical cannabis on our hands. We wanted hemp. Everything was good. So at that point, we grew out the rest of the crop another 30 days to really build up those trichomes and that CBD level. So initially, our CBD level was only 6 or 7%, and now we're testing at 14 or so percent. So there's about a 16-week process from either germination or propagation till you can harvest, and then you've got 7 to 14 days of drying. And what I've read, what we're experimenting with, is 50 to 60% humidity level and about, you know, room temperature, 68 to 75 degrees. You don't want to dry too fast, and obviously too cold won't dry fast enough. And then from a flower standpoint, people actually use some of the hemp flowers to smoke. The fastest way to get the CBD out of cannabis or industrial hemp is to actually ignite it. So to make the product more smokable for the few people that want to do that, you'll actually cure it as well. Most farmers probably won't mess with that because they'll use large quantities. But what we're doing, someone could actually go to a CBD store and buy it and use it for, you know, smokable flower.
Right.
So we'll cure it for 2 or 3 weeks, and then it'll have all the aromas and flavors, just like a tobacco would.
So you're hoping to primarily keep the, as you keep the cycle going, you're wanting to produce a plant that will be usable for a CBD.
Correct. That's the space we have here. That's probably the what most economical and viable economically for us. If we had 20 acres of this stuff planted, we'd be looking more at the fiber, the CBD, really using the whole plant. With our 500 plants a week, there's really not going to be enough fiber and biomass for us to do a lot with. And right now, the CBD thing's worth more money. So that's what we're looking at. And really, I would say, and I'm guessing in the next 2 to 5 years, that we won't really be even in that flower market anymore, because farmers will have acres and acres of this planted and our 500 plants a week. It might be good in the wintertime when no one has the harvest, but most of the year, or the big harvest, will come from Oklahoma farmers, and we're hoping to provide them with clones, seed, all the things to get them started every year.
So what will be probably the most economical way for a farmer to plant? Will they, you know, buy clones from you, buy seed from you? What is your strategy there?
The most economical way for a farmer to get started now is probably twofold. You're going to want to, look at how much acreage you have. There's going to be some smaller farms that have 5 to 10 acres that probably just want to grow for CBD. You know, so they're going to grow for flowers. They're going to have larger spacing. Basically, like growing an oversized tomato plant. You know, you can go. You need to be able to tend to it, pick it, prune it, whatever you might need to do. And then there's going to be guys that have, or farmers that have hundreds of acres, and they're going to probably plant it a lot closer together, maybe a different strain that's taller, that they're going to get seed, a little flower, and a lot of biomass.
Biomass obviously has value. I know some of the partners you're working with are looking at ways to try to actually crush that biomass.
Right. You can, just Google industrial hemp, all the different things. I think Mercedes-Benz and Ford have it in some of their door panels on their cars. One of the things that intrigues me is just animal bedding. You can use it for that stuff around your own farm. You can use it for concrete. You know, instead of fiberglass, use that fiber and the concrete to strengthen it. The list goes on and on and on.
So, end of the day, what's your goal then out there for your operation?
Our goal for this operation, from a business standpoint, we want to provide Oklahoma's farmers with the knowledge and education enough so that they want to actually grow this product and not think, you know, it's a complete experiment for them. We want them to purchase our clones or our seed and get started and know that they're going to actually have something to harvest and take to market at the end of the year.
Based on the current legalities of it all, you're obviously working with Langston. You got an authorization through Langston. Can somebody be a subcontractor with you and that let that lineage come down, you know, as far as individual farmers?
Well, it's all up to Langston on what kind of license they issue and to who. This year they only did about 3 licenses, but since we got started, we were one of the fourth or fifth person that got a license. I think there's about 26 other people that have been licensed to cultivate through other universities. And talking with the Department of Ag this week, when they came out to see us harvest, they said there's more universities getting their plant sciences papers back up to speed just in case the 2018 farm bill doesn't go through and we still have to work underneath that 2014 pilot program again next year. So I would assume farmers are going to want to work either with us, you know, as a co-op with Langston, or they'll work with us to buy our clones to get started or our seed to get started, and they'll work with whatever universities nearby to them.
Footprint for a farmer actually planting or using clones, however he's going to do it, outside, how far north or can they successfully go, you think?
Well, we're footprint-wise, this plant can grow in all 50 states. I mean, they grow industrial hemp in Alaska. And actually, we've had it here. Oh, we didn't have any heat going in the greenhouse, and we were at, 36, 38 degrees already one time. So it's pretty cold tolerant. So I don't think there's anywhere in Oklahoma you can't grow it. You're probably going to have to harvest a little sooner up in Guymon than you are over in, in Ardmore. But I don't think there's any really limitations on where you're at.